And good evening, and welcome to Shattered Lives. This is Donna R. Gore, a.k.a. Lady Justice, and we here at Shattered Lives are so excited to welcome you to this unique show, taking you beyond the details of the crime and the perpetrator and getting to the heart of what crime victim families experience and what they need in the aftermath of the crime. Prior to each show, please go to www.donnagore.com or imaginepublicity.com to read the background of the case or organization featured the week before our show is aired. And please don't forget, in case you can't listen live from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, you can always listen at any time during our archival feature. You just you go into blogtalkradio.com. You see the graphic with the big heart and the cracks. And our podcast is generally ready within 24 hours. So good evening again, everyone, and welcome friends and neighbors across the nation to Shattered Lives. It's always a pleasure to have you here, and I hope we do indeed have new listeners. And I always look forward to this show. It's such a pleasure to do, as well as doing my blog writings and the multitude of other projects I have on tap. But I'll keep my introduction short tonight so we have as much time as possible. I just want to say that I'm very blessed to be a part of the best little marketing and a promotions company on the East Coast and probably the world, Imagine Publicity. And I'm kind of their self-appointed cheerleader, and my co-host, Delilah, what can I say? She's the best of the best, and thank you for everything that you do, Delilah. It's always a pleasure to have you here with me.
Oh, it's always fun to spend Saturday afternoon on Shattered Lives.
Yes, it is. It's becoming part of our routine, isn't it? And that's
yes.
So very nice. It is. And I think we're like a family here, which makes it even better.
Mm-hmm.
Before I bring in our very esteemed guests, and I have to say we have a small group of guests this evening, and that's very exciting. I want to say a couple words about our very dear friend and colleague, Susan Murphy Milano. As you know, she's a national intimate partner, homicide expert who has stage 4 multi-organ cancer and is in the unenviable position of not having any health insurance. And she is still climbing Mount Everest in terms of trying to better her health, and everyone is pitching in with all kinds of ideas, monetary donations and auctions and whatever, but help is still needed. So I just want to mention one thing, and October is a very exciting month because she has a lot of things coming to fruition, and one of them has to do with her absolutely stellar autobiography called Holding My Hand Through Hell through Ice Cube Press. And I have to tell you that it's the best book that I have read in my life. And if you'd like to get a copy of it, you can through icecubepress.com. And if you get it through them, they will give 10% off, 10% as a donation for Susan's medical expenses. Or you can always give through Amazon, too. So please do that and go to Imagine Publicity and see the other venues that you can do to help Susan. She's in our hearts and in our prayers. So to the matter at hand, I have to tell you I'm very excited this evening because I have a guest here that I've sort of known for many years as an acquaintance because she has been a fixture at the Sam and Wanda Uyghur Victims of Violence Conference in Connecticut for many years. She's always been very popular, and she's been very faithful about coming back every year. Marilyn Gambrell, coming all the way from Houston, Texas every year. And I just marvel at this woman. She's an amazing woman with many accomplishments. She started out as a parole officer and an administrator for the state of Texas. But, you know, her heart is as big as the state of Texas, and that's what I love about her. And I, at some point in time, she just said, enough is enough, and she saw the need for to reach out and to change the lives of children of incarcerated parents, and that's what she's done in so many ways with respect to curriculum, with respect to other books, with respect to creating a stellar organization called No More Victims. And she even had a Lifetime movie made in her name. So what could be better? Marilyn and your group of mentors there, I welcome all of you to Shattered Lives. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Well, you're so welcome, and you're my first group here. It's very exciting. So we'll see how we...
I want to say something real quick, Donna. I think,
go ahead.
This is the first... I think this is really great because usually, you know, when we have organization founders or CEOs or, you know, different types of people that do organizations similar or help victims and do things like that, we have great conversations. But to actually have, you know, the people who are best served by the work that Marilyn Gambrell has done, to have these kids on it is just totally amazing, and it's really exciting. So,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, it is. It really is. I don't want to downplay that. And the fact that she's sharing the stage with them and that's part of the big focus is, you know, says volumes about who Marilyn is and the accomplishments of these kids. So, and I don't mean to call you kids. You're young adults now, after all. But so why don't we just kind of jump into, you know, into the mix here, and Delilah, jump in too if you want to ask any particular questions, because you know you are the co-host, and we want to give you time too.
You know, I will.
Okay, just say the word. In terms of who would like to answer the question about the impetus for the creation of the organization, I know that it rose out of frustration with you working as a parole officer, but what were the forces that helped you to say, this is something I have to do? Just as a little bit of background, if people didn't get to read our promo. Marilyn, would you like to take that one?
Yes, I would be happy to. The forces that kind of came together for me is I kept seeing things that I was struggling with when I would be out doing home visits and just out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Children running after police cars when a mother or father was being arrested, grabbing police officers' legs, trying to stop them from putting the parent in the car, all the little mm-hmm. birthdays, the constant pain, the anger that I was watching develop. And it just came to a place with one little girl in particular that I was standing about two buildings down but witnessed her mother being placed in a police car, and the baby did grab the police officer's leg. Her little face fell right on the police officer's gun. And the police officer was gentle with her and removed her, but the grandmother walked over and just began beating and hitting her. And she couldn't have been more than 2 years old. And
the grandmother was beating the little child?
Yes, it was the grandmother, who in her rage and frustration with everything going on too, she just lost it with the baby. And that was the turning point for me. I'd seen so much already, but that day at that moment, it was done. I had to do something different because I saw the potential of the future inmate right there beginning in front of me with being afraid, rejected, abandoned, hurt, scared, and not being given what she needed at that moment. So that began the journey to where that little one, now we have well over 2,000 children that have enrolled in No More Victims.
That's incredible. And what is the age range? So you talk about this little girl that was two, but and I know they stay with you for several years as you mentor them and they go through high school and college, et cetera.
Yes, our program is for life. We have newborns forward. Today the group here are all in high school. And they're 14, 15, 16, and I have one of our kids is a veteran member that's a senior in college at Texas Southern. He's here with us as well. So, but it's for life. You don't ever graduate out of us. You get sworn into the family, actually, and you're in for life. So my oldest two are about to be 30 years old, And
is
I'm
that right?
Still stunned
wow.
that I have 30-year-old children now. I'm amazed. So what's amazing is amazing. But it's for life. It's never an end to it. It's forever.
And do the 30-year-olds, do they also kind of mentor the younger ones?
Absolutely. You have to. If you're in our family, you have to give back. It's understood. You have to vote. It's understood. So you have to come in with a lot of responsibility and accountability. We're trying to break what's already been put in front of them and trying to create a whole new setting and to create a whole new healthy family where at some point maybe they can impact their own family.
Now, Marilyn, what type of facility do you have? I mean, I don't know, how many children do you take in to the program at one time, and do they all come and live at your home, or do you have a separate facility, or how does this work?
We're not a residential facility. All of our children live in their communities already. Some are already in foster care, and they're foster children that are children of incarcerated parents that go to our schools that we're in, our high schools and middle schools. So we're not residential, and one reason, there's already enough emergency shelters and placement. And I don't ever want to change my role with the children, because if I turn it into something residential, then my role will change, because then there's going to be curfews and rules and discipline and then being kicked out. And I'm not going to change that. They all live in the community, either with relatives or grandparents or in foster care.
Uh-huh. So your programs that you implement are within the school systems.
Well, we have three different components. We're school-based, corrections-based, and community-based. So we work in the prisons. We take our children in. We don't come in for the inmates to talk to us. We go in to have a little conversation with them. And the children tell them how it feels, mommy or daddy, to be raped repeatedly, for you to miss every birthday. And you have lights, you have water, you have food in the penitentiary. Our lights are off. We don't eat most of the time, and we don't have water. We don't get medical. So they come in and talk about the real anger and frustration that they feel being so young and having to take care of younger siblings. So we come in with a whole different angle to that. And our kids have been yelled at all their lives and told they're going to the penitentiary. So, and scaring them, none of that works for this population of children. Nothing scares them either. So you're not going to reach them that way. They need to talk about how they feel instead of us telling them what we need to scare them into feeling. So we don't go that route.
And you just seems like you use so much love and care, and that seems the most effective approach.
I think so. It's the consistency, too. We're there, and we're not going anywhere. It's the phone calls. It's when the kids need something, and it's just knowing that person is there, but it's a whole family of us that's here, because our veteran members that started in 2000, they're all still here for all the kids. So it's just a really big, loving, healing group of us that are all committed to each other. We don't condone violence, but I know our children have lived in a violent world. So they have to learn how to do things different. But they have to survive as well. So there's a lot of angles to this that, and I know in Texas we're real comfortable in just slapping handcuffs. They don't care how old you are. Well, that's not a remedy. My kids, our children are not going to the penitentiary, and that's the bottom line. We're not. And they're not going to put themselves in those situations. But if you don't show them how to not do that, they don't really know.
Right. Well, I'd love to hear from one of the students in the group there with respect to maybe describing just briefly what their life was like, and then perhaps someone can share their story about a different student, how far they've come and what the difference is, if someone would like to share.
All right. Well, I'm going to give the phone over to Sade.
Okay,
she's going to give you a little bit of information, tell you what grade and who's been incarcerated, and just give you a little details, okay?
Okay, that's fine. Sade, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Sade. Welcome to our radio show. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
Basically,
Sade.
Uh-huh.
My name is Sade. I'm 16 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in 11th grade at Fred High School. And a lot of people in my family have been incarcerated. My mom, my dad, uncles, aunties, cousins. Only people who haven't been incarcerated really are the younger ones. And my mom was even incarcerated when she was younger, like 13, 14 or whatever. And she actually had me when she was 14.
Wow.
My dad, I don't really get to see him much. He was in prison like the first 2 years of my life. So
uh-huh.
I don't really see him much or talk to him much.
Who do you have contact with? Anybody out of that group?
I have some contact with my mom, but we don't really have a good relationship. I don't live with her. I live with my grandma.
Well, coming from that kind of a situation, can you tell us what has been the hardest part for you, and then maybe what's the best part of how far you've come?
Well, the hardest part for me is basically coping with it and dealing with it, because it's sometimes where I just feel like giving up and just saying forget it all. But the good part of it is that it motivates me to keep going, and I know that if I go to school and get a good education and do what I have to do, I can give back and I can help someone, and I can basically just get out of that situation.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us an example of a kind of a situation that is just really frustrating that makes you want to give up? Because maybe some people have no idea in our audience, and I want them to know what you're dealing with.
Well, basically it's like, it's kind of hard, like, not having a dad or a mom there to talk to you. I mean, I am a teen. I mean, I go through heartbreaks and emotional problems. It's just different stuff. Adults think that children don't have problems. And it's like, I want them to know that we do have problems that we have to deal with. It's certain stuff that we might need, and we have no one to go to.
Mm-hmm. But you have Marilyn and her organization, though, now, right?
Yes.
And how long have you been with them?
Since last school year in November.
And has it really made, what kind of a difference has it made? Can you tell me what really good changes have taken place for you?
Well, I used to not like opening up. I didn't talk to anybody about it. Nobody knew what I was going through. I had a lot of anger inside.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's my... I feel like whenever there's something going on,
right,
I have to talk about it. And I can go to Ms. Gambrell or anybody else in the organization. And to me, I call her Mama. That's my mother.
I know that. She's Mama to a lot of people, isn't she? That's great. So you're feeling a lot more comfortable and better about yourself. How are your grades?
Oh, I make straight A's.
Yay! You do? All right. Excellent. Well, you know, you're just a shining star, I think, you know. And I wondered, is there another one of your friends in the group that you could pass the phone to and tell me about one of the specific programs that they've been through that they think are really cool and useful and helpful?
Okay.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello? Hi, this is Donna, Lady Justice. Who's this?
This is Eric.
Eric, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being on my show. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us maybe something about your experience with Marilyn's program, a specific part of the program that you found was very useful and helpful?
Yes, ma'am. Well,
sure.
Like I said, my name is Eric Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm 25. I've been part of No More Victims since September of 2004, so almost like 8 years now.
Yeah.
And the reason why I joined No More Victims is because my parents was incarcerated. My mom was in and out of jail for like approximately like 2 years out of my life. And
mm-hmm.
my dad, he was for 9 years. And basically when I was growing up, I had like a hard time coping with the pain of my parents being incarcerated, so I used to act out in school. I used to fight a lot. I used to push kids down the stairs, stab kids in the head with pencils, all the other stuff because I was hurting and I was coping, and I was trying to cope with both of my parents being gone. and I was raised by my grandmother, and I recently had found out that I was adopted when I was, like, a couple of months old. And when I finally did, went to go find my real mom, like, a month after I found her, she died in a car accident.
Oh,
and,
my goodness. Oh, I'm so sorry.
And that was real, like, hard for me because when I wanted to have a relationship with her, like, I really couldn't have one with her because she died. So,
mm-hmm.
And that was kind of hard. But the reason why I joined No More Victims is because I didn't have a family because my biological family didn't want to have nothing to do with me because I was the black sheep of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So they really didn't have anything to do with me. And so when I used to tell them that I was raped, they used to, like, say I was lying. When I was abused, they used to say I was lying. When I was molested, they said I was lying. And mm-hmm. it was just hard for me growing up. But
mm-hmm.
now, got through all that with the love and support that Marilyn Gambrell and No More Victims gave to me. Now, I graduated from high school, and now
right.
I'm a senior at Texas Southern University majoring in social work.
That is tremendous. We're just so proud of you. That's wonderful. And how do you feel? How do you feel now as compared to then? It must be like night and day.
I mean, back then, like, I really didn't have, like, no hope of seeing none, like, nothing of this. It's like now, it's like I can finally breathe my own air, and now my victim gave me that oxygen to breathe. So I give everything to know my victims, my love, my support, because this is
mm-hmm.
my family. When I didn't have family, this was the family for me. This is the family that best fit me because I really didn't have, like, I don't have a relationship with my family, so No More Victims,
right.
they replaced that family with the No More Victims family, and I'm very, very grateful for that because
right.
without
well,
them, I don't know where I would be.
Well, it sounds like you really found a true family that cares, and you're in the best place you need to be, and that's what God wants, I think, you know. That's great. Is there another person there that could tell us? This is what I'm wondering, Eric. In the program, do you go through a set curriculum, and then there's counseling classes? Is it structured in terms of classroom? And then there's counseling, and then do you do community service work? How does it work? Can somebody there explain that part of it? Or do you want to have Marilyn talk about that?
Yeah, I would like to do that. I have a curriculum that I've written, but that's not what we're forced to follow. It's whatever our children want to talk about every day. That's the topic at that point. It's never something that's going to be pre-imposed upon them.
Okay.
And if we work through particular issues, then there's things that I always bring to the table about, you know, coping with anger, healthy ways to communicate. We definitely do community service projects all the time, whether it's handing out diapers, school supplies, reading to other children. We do so many things. We're always moving around. They're running triathlons now. It actually came in second place. The first triathlon we were in, our team came in second place.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah, these are some little athletes, too. We're so proud. But I refer out when it's something critical where I know the child needs something more than the emotional support base that we have. They may need medication. It may be much deeper with mental health issues. But normally what I found, even children that have been placed in special ed, once they came into No More Victims, it was simply a matter of being able to release their pain.
Uh-huh.
They didn't actually have what they had been diagnosed with. A lot of times they simply needed to release and be in a safe place, and that began to change everything.
Isn't
so
that amazing?
They need to be heard. It can change everything. We're just really off base in the way we do a lot of things, I think, just around our country and the systems that we have. But I want to pass the phone to Moni. She's one of our superstar athletes who's also on varsity. And I'd like
really?
To pass the phone to her real quick, okay?
Okay, sure. That'd be great.
Hello?
Hello? Tell me your name again. I'm sorry.
My real name is Rochelle, but
and no more victims. They call me Moni.
Moni, and, okay. And you're a star athlete. What kind of athlete are you?
I play basketball and volleyball.
You do? Well, do you know that I'm located in the same state as the Yukon Huskies national champions. Do you ever watch their games?
No, but I'm sorry.
We're the top rated in the nation. I just wondered if you were familiar with that. But I'm a women's basketball fan as well. So that's really cool. Has that been a very good release for you with your anger, Moni, or how did you develop those skills?
Yes, because I have a really bad anger problem since I started high school. I got kicked out of school, high school, fighting, and I ended up at first. So I started playing sports, and it was a good way to release my anger. And then I joined No More Victims, and I started to learn more ways to cope with my anger by talking about my problems instead of taking it out on other people and fighting, getting kicked out of school. And I started to get my faith together, and now I make A's and B's, and I'm not a bad discipline problem like I was before.
Well, that's great. It sounds like you're really turning your life around, and I'm sure you're feeling a lot better about yourself too, right?
Yes, I feel like a better person.
Is there somebody, is there one of your friends there that can then tell me, or Marilyn, how do you actually join? Does Marilyn have to select you? Do you go in and do you have to fill out an application and meet a certain criteria and agree to certain responsibilities before you can join? I'm wondering how that part works.
Okay, I want them to tell you more, but I just want to tell you how it actually does work initially. You have to choose to be in our family, not referred or forced. That won't work, because if you're forced to come in, even court referred or court ordered, if you don't want to be there, it'll disrupt the peace of what the family's already created. And our kids aren't going to have that, so it would be very problematic. But if you want to be in our family, and don't even know where your mother and father are, you've never met them, but you're hurting and you need help, we're going to welcome you in. But you have to be asked a series of questions first that are very painful, very emotional. But you've got to earn your way in there, because so many confidential things are said. We need some reassurance that you're committed to this family and not going to go back out and tell. And when you're dealing with high schools and peer pressure and a lot of different rivalries, that becomes very important. So it's a way to build integrity into the program. Once you answer the questions, and they will ask you repeatedly till they feel that they're getting the genuine, authentic you, then you will have to agree to a list of rules, and then we vote. And if it has to be unanimous, so if I have 100 children in class that day, 100 have to vote you in at one time. If one child does not vote for you, they have to get up and tell the rest of the class why. And usually at some point it's something that happened in the third grade and they were mad at each other. We usually work through everything. And then you're voted in. And once voted in, you take the oath and you're sworn into the family and your family for life. And it gives our children a way to be a part of something. And it's so beautiful to unanimously see all these little hands go up for you.
Marilyn, why don't we do that with a national election? It sounds like a good idea.
Doesn't it, though? Well, it totally worked with us, so you're exactly right. But I do want to give it to another child who, I mean, you can't just get in. They're going to talk to you for a little bit. They're going to call you out on acting silly, cutting up in class, disrupting school, and they don't want that blamed on our group. So they make you stand up. It's pretty serious, but that's what is most effective. But this is Hector. He wants to share that with you really quick.
Okay, let's talk to Hector.
Hello.
Hi, Hector. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for being on my show. Hey, listen, can you tell us how often do you meet as a group versus like meeting one to one? I'm still trying to get the whole picture in my mind of the program. Can you tell us that part of it and then a little bit about yourself?
Sometimes we meet like three or four times a week. And
within the high school, or the prison, or wherever. Okay.
And then we do stuff on weekends, like we're doing right now.
Yeah.
Well, and if you want, some you could just call Mama G out, so you could speak one on one.
Okay.
If you don't,
she's available anytime to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. She's available, and then she gives us her number.
Yeah.
She gives her number, so we can call her anytime we need help or with anything.
That's great. Wow. Tell us a little bit about your story. How did you come to be involved? What was your background with your family?
Well, my dad and my mom have been incarcerated, and I have a lot of uncles and a lot of family, but mainly my mom and my dad.
Right.
I joined No More Victims because I didn't need help, but I decided to get help because I've seen that I have problems, and that so far they have been helping me out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just need things because so far, as much, a lot of people that I've seen in here have gone
mm-hmm.
through the same thing that I have gone through.
Right, so that kind of helps to know that other people are going through the same thing?
Yes.
Yeah. I kind of feel that way, too, because I don't know if all of you in the group know. You probably don't, but part of the reason why I do this radio show is my dad was murdered in 1981 by a career criminal. And after all of those years, I still want to try to do something good to help other people. So I'm a homicide survivor, just to let all of you know that, okay? But, Hector, that sounds wonderful. Can you tell me, and then maybe I'm going to ask Marilyn another question, are all of your peers and your friends, are they all from the Houston area or all from Texas, or would there be anyone else allowed in from another area?
Well, most of them are from Texas, and I'm from Florida.
You're from Florida? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you move from Florida to Texas?
Yes, ma'am. And we have another student that's from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
From all over the country. But we're all here in Texas together right now.
Well, that's great. And do you think most of the people, once they get involved in the program, stay there?
Yes.
Or except for maybe going off to college somewhere else? Or do most people go to the universities in Texas?
Well, we're all over the country, so basically it doesn't matter where you go, but we have to keep in touch. And
okay.
Like I said, she gave us her number so we could call her. If anything, you know, if anything comes up, she's here for us. She's like the mother that we've ever had.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of it, you know. And, I appreciate you speaking with me. You know, I'm wondering, you know, there's been a curriculum done that, you know, sometimes it's followed in the school. Marilyn, you've done some books. I understand you've done recently some coloring books. And I'm wondering with the overall program, what has been the impact of, and especially with you traveling around the country and doing this, have other states been able to replicate this as a model, or is it just primarily regionally or in Texas?
We've been all over the country. We've had schools, actually 16 other countries have contacted us. But
uh-huh.
What they're finding is what I initially found when I started on this journey, is a lot of people have turned a deaf ear when it comes to this population of children. We've found school boards, school districts that didn't want to acknowledge that they had the populations that they do, of the size
right.
that they actually do. Because they feared it would impact the tax base, or it would impact politics or image, and The reality is children of incarcerated parents are all over the world. They exist in every school in America. No matter how elite or how poor, this baby does exist. So we need to start looking at that. But we've been contacted. We're hoping we've made some headway in a couple of states that look like they're beginning to get the support to actually bring us, because we have to have a support base there to actually come and start the program. But we've heard from every state in America, especially after the movie and Secret Millionaire and CNN and all the media. But it's just a population that it's not just a typical children's program. These children are way, way ahead of their age and life experiences, and they're not just going to buy into anything because you put it out there.
Right.
So, you're not going to win them over that easy, and they need some real proof that this is going to work and that you're not leaving them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I found that's the greatest thing. But even with the curriculum, you would have to be no more victims people to bring it in. We'd have to train you, and you'd have to
train
become
you,
a part
like
of it.
Train the trainer?
Exactly. But my plan is our own children are the ones that go to other states, and they run the program in other states.
They
are the ones who live through it, who has chosen not to die as suicidal as they were. They've chosen not to take other people's lives as much pain as they were in. They've stopped cutting. They've stopped burning themselves, and they're just moving forward. And children trust children. Adults have terribly failed in their lives, and children just trust children more. So especially an adult child who has come through this journey is more likely to be one that they can relate to. So it's just a beautiful mixture of reality and wanting to heal and move forward. And that's actually, it works. It absolutely works. And also I have another child here, Tina, who wants to talk real quick if she can, okay?
Sure. Go ahead, Delilah.
There's a question in the chat room for Hester. The person is asking, Hester, what do you want to be when you're an adult that's different than what your parents or family members that are in prison have lived out? What do you want differently than what they've done?
Good question.
Well, all my life I've been told that I've been a failure. So what I really want to do is just prove people wrong.
Mm-hmm. But do you have any special talents?
I could draw. I could do a lot of things. I'm multi-talented.
Great. Do you have a special goal?
I'm just trying to try to finish high school so I could try to go to college and do like any graphic arts, any theater arts, any visual arts, anything that has to do with art.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. It sounds like you might have a bright career with those kinds of talents. And go ahead.
Do you feel that you will be the one to break the cycle in your family, that you will be the one to show maybe other family members? You don't have to live a life like maybe some of your family members have been living. And I think, you know, this tends to be generational, and certain family members, it's almost an acceptable thing within communities, you know, for people to be taken to jail or to live a life of crime, so to speak. So do you feel like by going through this program, you can break that cycle?
Yes, definitely. I already have.
Great. You already have. You proving it to yourself, and you're proving it to other people.
I'm proving it. I'm on my way. I'm proving it right now. I basically made the first step by joining No More Victims.
Right. You're very inspirational, all of you. I want to let you know that, and we are listening. You know, we're very proud of all of you, even though we don't know all of your stories, and it just touches our heart, and we know that there's hope there because you represent hope. And, you know, I just know that in the future we have to talk to some more of you, and we've got about maybe 20 minutes left of the show, but I know
we'll
have to bring you on again.
I think I can.
Go ahead, Delilah.
I said, I think I kind of cut one of the others off if she'd like to come back.
Yeah, it was somebody else that wanted to come on.
Right.
Who was that?
Tina?
Yes.
Okay, come on in, Tina. Come on down.
Hi. I'm 16. I'm in 12th grade, and my mom and my dad have been incarcerated.
Yeah.
And I'm the only one that's about to finish high school and go to college in my whole family.
Yay! Wow. All right. Well, that's tremendous. That's tremendous. You know, and I'm sure you're very proud of yourself. What is it that you would like to tell our audience, which is national across the nation, that they don't know about being the child of incarcerated parents or other relatives? What is it that we have as an idea that might be very wrong? I'm sure there's many factors that we have sort of wrong-headed thinking. Can you tell us, you know, can you educate us about some of those facts and set us straight? You know, maybe there's certain ideas we have that we need to correct.
We're not bad kids. We're good kids. It don't matter if your parents been incarcerated or anything. Just know that you have everybody else in your family, once it's not incarcerated, you can count on them and help them.
Right. That's very important. Yeah. How about something else that you could think of that we need to know is true that maybe we don't realize it? Can you think of anything?
We hurting kids.
You're hurting?
Yeah, we are hurting ourselves on the inside because our parents incarcerated. Like, we hurting ourselves because we're thinking it's our fault, and it's not our fault.
Uh-huh. And tell me a little bit more about that hurt. Do you mean you're feeling physical pain and emotional pain, and how do you show that pain? Are you talking about cutting yourself or feeling suicidal or... Explain the pain for us.
Yes, we're cutting ourselves. We're fighting on other kids. We're taking our attitudes out on other people. And, like, that's not good.
Right. And how do you begin to stop those things, Tina?
No more victims. Getting into no more victims because they help me. And, like, this is like a family to me, a second family, because I have sisters that I never had before. I don't even have no sisters. Most of my sisters died and passed away and all that. Ran away, and I don't even know him no more. I never see him.
Okay. Well, I'm wondering, like, what made the difference for you to start feeling hopeful about yourself versus feeling the pain? Did one of your friends kind of show you the way, or was it something Marilyn said? What made the difference so you started to get the pain out? Can you think of a specific example?
Talking about it to one of my friends and no more victims.
Okay. And that really helped you?
Yes.
That's good. Well, I'm sure our audience would like to know, do you have a particular career goal or personal goal that you can share?
Yes, I want to be an engineer.
An engineer? Wow, what kind of engineer?
Technology.
Technology engineer. Oh my goodness! There'll be a job out there for you. You just keep going. That's wonderful. That's tremendous. So, and what year are you in school?
Yes.
What year are you? Are you a freshman? You're what?
I graduate in 2013.
Oh, you graduate in 2013. Okay, great. That's not far off. Very good. And then you have your college picked out?
Yes.
Where are you going?
Baylor.
Okay. I'm familiar with that. They have a wonderful program for people with disabilities like myself. That's a very good school. Wow. Congratulations. That's wonderful. Okay.
There's a phone call if you would like to take a phone call.
Oh, really? Okay, sure, bring them on in.
Okay.
Hi, this is Donna, Lady Justice.
Hello, Donna. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
And is it Tina?
Uh-huh. Just Tina
and Hector. I got to say, I am so happy that I happened upon this show.
And who's this, please? Who are we talking to?
Teresa, sorry.
Teresa, so
Teresa
nice to have
in the
you.
Chat room. Thank you.
Oh,
you, Marilyn, you're doing such beautiful work. And I just got to say to Hector and Tina that I am so proud of you guys. It just makes my heart sing to hear you speak the way that you do. And I can't wait. I wish we had 3 hours to listen to your stories about what you're going to do with your life, because, as Hector said, when you asked him the question if he feels as if he's broke that chain, and
right.
he said, I already have, I thought, yes.
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 What confidence, huh? What confidence.
Oh,
what,
the chains have been broken.
What respect, I know. Now, maybe Marilyn can share, like, when is the next venue conference or something that is coming up? For I know we can always go to your website. I usually ask this at the very end, but we still have another maybe 12, 13 minutes. We can go to your website, but are there, you travel all over, are there particular geographic regions where people can go and hear more Marilyn or get more information if they want to somehow maybe, you know, start a program in their area or collaborate with you or help them in some way?
Absolutely, yes, yes.
Yes, and we do want to be in every school in America, every state, every city. We want to be there. We definitely want to do that. We're starting workshops now that you can come to, and we're actually building the website now. It should be up in the next couple of days, called myworkshop.eventbrite.com. It's going to give a list of the dates. We're doing them. We've got 5 already scheduled through December that people can come to. Or they can just go to our website and email us, and we'll forward them the information. Our website, nomorevictimsinc.global.org.
Okay.
Mm.
And is it open to anyone in terms of, you know, social service professionals, victim advocates, anyone that may be interested, parents? I mean,
yes, anyone can come. They can certainly come. It is also continuing education hours right now for licensed professional counselors, but anyone can come, and you'll get a certificate coming to show that you attended training specifically regarding this population.
Right.
So that certainly is available. But I have another child who really, really wants to say something, and so I want to pass that to, if I may, to Carrie.
All right.
I'll reiterate that information. Teresa, thank you. They were just grinning from
ear to ear. Teresa, it was so nice to have you.
Yes, I'm so tickled. I'm so tickled.
Are you?
I want to get
sure
involved. I want
to
reach out to Marilyn, absolutely, and just, again, say to all of these kids to reach out to your peers and just be who you are, and
right.
I'm so happy that you've peeled off who you thought you were, and you're now living because of Marilyn. Thank you. Bless you.
Thank you
yes.
so much. Thank you for calling.
Yes, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. We're so glad. We have a number of firsts today. We really haven't had callers on, and this is our first group. So, Marilyn, you're starting something new for us. That's wonderful.
Yes.
You know?
Proud to be a part of that history.
That's
is awesome.
Good, and, you know, where are you going to – I want to talk to the next student, but I'm just wondering, where are you going to be next in a town near us?
I don't really have anything scheduled out there at this point or close. They're coming in. We've got some requests coming in that we need to confirm. But we can let you know. Right now, most all of our workshops are going to be scheduled in Houston for people to come in here, because our workshops is not just me. Our children are presenters in the workshop, so you get quality time with the child. So the key players in the workshops are actually the kids, and they have a lot to say about social services in America. They have to say they're going to want to share.
I'm sure it's going to be exciting. Oh, great.
I'm sorry.
Great. Okay, who wants to talk to me now?
This is Carrie.
Carrie, hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good. I'm glad you're joining us. What would you like to share with us about your experience or about No More Victims?
Well, during my childhood, I've been in and out of jail.
Right.
Not long in 2 years, though. And my father, he's been in jail for 7 years since the day I was born. And
wow.
I met him when I was 7 years old.
Uh-huh.
At the age of 12, he left again, and I didn't see him again until I was 13. So
okay.
It just made me, that's the backbone of my anger and my stress that I've been building up for the past years.
Uh-huh. And how have you been dealing with that? What have you been doing that helps you vent that anger?
At first, I started playing basketball, but it seems as if when I did that, it sometimes did not work at all. So then
okay.
I turned into poetry writing, and it helped
writing?
Me a lot. Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. I have to tell you, we share that in common. I love to write. I write all the time, and to me, it's very helpful and therapeutic. And I get my feelings out, and I write with heart, and I'm sure you like. What kind of writing do you do? Is it stories or poetry or what?
It's poetry.
Poetry, really? Have you do you have a newsletter with Marilyn, All You Kids? Is there a newsletter that comes out?
We are putting that in place now. We're in 7 new schools, so we're kind of, woo! But that's one of the plans. Yeah, we've got a whole lot going on. We're so excited about that. So it's finally, even our own state's recognizing us. But that's something we want to do. I've got their poetry hanging all over the office, laminated frame. You can get lost in our office with all the pictures and all the beautiful things our children have drawn and written. And it's very deep. It's you'll have to stay. It'll keep you up at night a little bit once you do get to see them and hear from them. But Carrie is outstanding. I am blown away by his poetry. It is so deep and amazing for someone so young.
Is that
and
right?
He also has an amazing voice. This child can sing, so you're going to see his name in lights. That's all coming.
Oh, that's so great. Marilyn, how large of a staff do you have to do all these things?
Well, it's really just me, and I have an assistant, but the
right.
majority of what our children, our older kids now come in and take that responsibility. So
right.
that's how we're able to move forward. We've never requested government money, and we're trying to make our own way through our workshops and things where we're in control of our own destiny and not really at the
right.
mercy of when
yeah.
the political
Are you a 501c3 nonprofit?
Yes, we are a nonprofit, 501c3 on our website. You can go to PayPal and make donations, or you can mail
all
them.
Right.
We need everything, all of the above, and the children, we never have enough.
Need? What do you most need if people are interested in donating?
One of the primary things that we need is always, always funding, gas cards, gift cards, food, diapers, school supplies. All the above, because Houston is big, and, I mean, getting to one school maybe 30 miles from the next one just across the city. So then we taking the children home afterwards so they can stay with us. So it's a whole lot. Then a lot of medical needs and just especially food. That's always critical, always, and
yeah.
personal hygiene items. So, but funds, gift cards get the same thing that, we,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can go these actually are. And never enough Band-Aids, peroxide, Tylenol, whatever any
wow.
one family needs, times that about 1,000 plus.
Now, where is your headquarters? Do you have a warehouse or are you operating in an office complex or what?
Yes, we have our office site is in the strip center,
right.
but we're. Excited now because we're getting space in the schools, not just a classroom we use. It's going to become ours. And at
oh.
Worthing High School, a big community building is being built inside the new high school, a community center. And we've been given brand new space that we got to design. So we'll now have our Southside satellite office. So we're so excited about that. It's been a long journey, but the children are telling the tale as they move forward, and their healing is changing everything. And we don't only have high school graduates now. We have college graduates now, and we do have a child who did speak with me at the Melanie Rieger conference that has graduated from LSU with honors, both parents in the penitentiary. He was the first African-American to win the Truman Scholarship and is now at Columbia working on his doctorate with a 5-year scholarship.
Yay! Oh, my God. That is so tonight. Tyler, what do you have to say about that?
I'm sorry?
I was just wondering, Delilah, isn't that amazing?
I think each and every one of these, every one of them has had an amazing story to tell that has been so inspiring. And, you know, I hope this show goes far and wide because I think a lot of people out there need to listen. I think this has been one of the most exciting shows we've had. And
I think so. I think we need to have them back maybe in the beginning of the new year or something after the holiday. We'll do some special show.
We would love to do that.
I think we just scratched the surface, and I think there's going to be a lot of interest. So, you know, I will say, now, Marilyn, I don't know, can you just tell us, we've got about 3.5 minutes. What's it like to be memorialized in a movie? And do you like the movie, and should people go and watch it?
I was stunned because that movie came from a movie producer who produces movies for Lifetime. He's an independent but does movies for Lifetime. He saw an article about us in the U.S. News World Report magazine.
Right.
And when U.S. News World Report contacted us, they said we might only get a page if we even got in because, I mean, that's a business journal.
Sure.
And so we did. We didn't just get one page. We got 5 pages.
Wow.
So that's what brought Lifetime in, and they flew in, and they talked to us, and they did change some things because they felt that the truth would be a little bit more than the audiences could bear, that their audience could bear. So they did kind of tone it down from what we know to be a reality. But overall, I thought that they did reveal a lot that I was happy that they were willing to share because it is the truth. And
right.
I thought James Gertz was, I'm a little rougher than she portrayed me in the movie. But she did a great job, but that's what they told her she needed to do. She was absolutely spectacular. We love her. She came to class. She got a feel for the kids. She went to the prison with us when we do that, and she saw the interaction between our children and what they were releasing to incarcerated fathers at that point. So overall, I'm very happy. It just played again on Lifetime. We always know when it comes on because we get waves of emails from around the country. And so it's still playing on Lifetime, but you can purchase it now. It's on DVD through shopmylifetimetv.com, or you can just go to lifetimetv.com, but you can purchase it. It's called Fighting the Odds, the Marilyn Gambrell story. But, yes, I'm pleased with it, but I'm ready to go another round like an HBO documentary. It's time to really tell the story.
All right. Well, that sounds like a great goal. And like I say, I really think that, you know, we should have chapter 2 here, and maybe you can stay in touch with us, and we'll do something. And, you know, we definitely want to get this show out far and wide because I think people really need to hear it. The Rieger Conference is good, but comparatively speaking, you know, sometimes a radio show will reach more people. So I just have to say thank you so much, everyone, for the opportunity to have you all. It's been an honor. Please do keep in touch. Everyone, please do stay tuned to another version of Shattered Life next week. There's always good shows coming up. And when it comes to victims, don't just try. Make sure you make it happen. Delilah, thank you for being my co-host. And we'll see you next Saturday, everyone. Good evening.
Thank you. Bye.